Revenue Chat episode 130. The Dream Business Community wants to help you with your career and business. Are you ready for accelerated success? Check it out. The Dream Business Community at tonyduroso.com/community.
This is Revenue Chat Radio with your host, Tony D'Urso, interviewing successful entrepreneurs and giving you actionable advice and insights. Let's rev it up.
Hello again, and welcome to this episode of Revenue Chat. I'm your host, Tony D'Urso. In our last episode, 129, Robert Klink gives a very informative look at harnessing the power of your intellectual property rights and why. More than likely, you have some of these and don't even know their power. Doing the right thing can literally make the difference between nothing and millions of dollars that are rightfully yours. This is great and a must listen for any business owner or entrepreneur. And you can catch every episode of Revenue Chat on my mobile app. Just go to tonyduroso.com/mobile from your smart device or cell phone. Once it loads, past episodes of Revenue Chat will automatically appear in column 2. Column 1 is my other weekly high-profile show that focuses on highlighting Hollywood stars, sports greats, and game changers called The Spotlight with Tony D'Urso. Just go to tonyduroso.com/mobile from your smart device or cell phone. Okay, today we set the stage for Revenue Chat with Dean Tsoukas. He's a successful entrepreneur, tech aficionado, car enthusiast, and the co-founder of Magilla Loans. A technophile at a very young age, Dean honed his web development skills over the years and eventually created Magilla in 2015. Dean is the former CEO of Tsoukas Investments, which is credited for developing thousands of homes, the Amazon Fulfillment Center, and numerous commercial buildings in the greater Sacramento region. All right, Revenue Crew, let's rev it up. Get ready for Dean to talk about the first search engine for any loans. Here we go. Hello, Dean. How are you?
Good, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Dean, it's such a pleasure to have you. So I want to thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us on Revenue Chat.
Hey, no problem. My pleasure.
All right, great. Well, I tell you what, let's take it all from the top, shall we? Dean, I'd like to know, how did it all start for you, please?
In my career or in what I'm doing right now?
Well, you're very successful at your career. So what brought you into this field that you are now so successful in?
Well, I guess it would go back to just taking probably, it sounds cliche, but probably just taking some computer classes way back in the day. I'm old enough where my generation was just on the cusp of when the PC was created. So I learned how to code and DOS and languages like that when I was a kid. And I didn't think much of it other than I was good at computers my entire life. And then here you are fast forwarding, 30 years later, and I'm coding a website, which just seems crazy. But what I'm doing now is a strange amalgamation of everything I've done since that day my mom bought my brothers and I an Apple II Plus. I mean, I can remember the day, and we were just like mesmerized by the thing.
That's very cool. And what you've built is, I believe, the first search engine for any type of loans. I've been all through your site. I find it amazing. And I do have some interesting questions on that. Okay, your website's amazing. We're going to talk about Magilla Loans and what you've done there in a moment. But what caught my attention as well is you earned your JD, and now here you are with this great website. Are you also active as an attorney, or did you decide that when you got your JD that it wasn't the route for you?
It was never going to be the total route. My dad's an immigrant from Greece, and ironically, so are my in-laws. And, you know, they started from nothing. I mean, they didn't have shoes, you know, when they were kids. And, you know, they've all become successful through not a lot of outside help other than family help, maybe giving you a place to stay. You know, everything they earned and succeeded, they did on their own. And moving to America was obviously a big part of that. And so my dad always said, it's good to have a profession. You know, you're going to have family, you're going to have kids, you guys are smart boys, but strange things happen. Life throws you curveballs. And it's nice to have a profession to fall back on. And getting a law degree seemed like a good profession that can help you in a lot of different ways. And, you know, I wasn't a lawyer suing people or defending people. I was a transactional attorney for real estate transactions. So it was more on the business side of things.
I got you. Very interesting. Very cool. What caught my attention here is your lineage is from Greece, and I have been in Greece, and I love the country, and there is something about a Greek person, the Grecian, that I don't know if it's on the internet, I've never tried to Google it, but astounds me to this day. And let me tell you the story and see if you can catch this quality that I think is very unique. I'm out there in Greece, we're in Athens, we're in a place called Plaka Square, down from the Acropolis.
Of course.
And we're so taken in by Roman as well as Grecian souvenirs, and we ran into this store where there were replicas made of various digs and finds from Crete and from everywhere, and we thought, you know, we're going to put this in our house. We're going to make our house more Grecian, more Roman, and we bought a ton of stuff. I mean, a ton, Dean, hundreds of dollars. Now, here's the interesting thing that the shop owner, he's all by himself, he's a little bit older man, didn't speak a speck of English. So we had to go next door to get the shop owner, who did speak some English, to come and translate, because it was so much stuff we bought, there was no way to take it in our bags, and we were flying out like the next day. So they had their conversation. He said, you know what? He said, we will ship this for you, no extra money. And, you know, I knew I paid a little extra. That was fine. You know, it's fine. I just want the stuff. And I gave him the money, we made the purchase, we left, we came back home, and the thought never crossed my mind, Dean. Never crossed my mind. This was the sincerity that came through in the conversation. And just as planned, a couple weeks later, not even a month later, there was the shipment of everything, intact, complete. And you know what the thought is that crossed my mind was, he could have just taken the money. He could have just said whatever, but he didn't. This is the honesty level of, I don't know what it's like now, but this is the honesty level of that class of people. And I was so amazed that to this day, I think that the Grecians are some of the most honest, forthright people in the world. It was very impressive to do that. I mean, it's so much money compared to their wages, what they make out there. It was like, he could have done anything, but no, he delivered the goods.
Yeah, yeah. And you had no recourse if he didn't.
I mean, I had. And I was never worried about it, as naive as I was.
Well, that's been my experience. I mean, again, I'm Greek, but, you know, my Greek language skills are limited. So when I go there, unless I'm with my wife or, you know, someone else, that they don't know me from you. They don't know I'm Greek just by walking down the street. And everyone has treated me the same as you were treated. You know, sometimes you don't know what you're doing, you don't have the language. And you're giving somebody some money and then you leave and, you know, God, is that going to be okay? And of course it is, you know, because why wouldn't he?
Because
and
you're Greek.
In America, yeah, well, in a lot of other countries, there needs to be an incentive system. Like, how do you keep people honest? How do you keep people working hard? And everything's always about incentives. And I agree with you. I mean, again, I'm biased, but I think they're an excellent, excellent, excellent country. And they look at a lot of our parents. They're so proud to be American, and they're also proud to be Greek. It's not a choice. They don't come to America and complain. They're thrilled to be here. I mean, it gave them all their things that they weren't able to do in their own country. And all the Greeks I know think the same. They're extremely proud to be an American, and they're obviously, as all Greeks are, very proud of Greece as well. So, but yeah, so that's where I came from. That was the type of household. Just so happened my wife has the similar background. So that was kind of a happy accident.
Well, very cool. Very cool. So, all right. Well, that's off on a good note there. Now, not necessarily am I trying to talk about honesty or anything like that. I'm not. But I am curious, now going into this incredible tool, internet tool you've built, Magilla Loans. You can get personal loans, business loans, house loans, all sorts of cool stuff. But doesn't everybody do that, Dean? Like, what is it that sets you apart from the competition, and what is it that makes you different?
Yeah, and it's funny because your listeners probably think that was a loaded story you told there about honesty. Obviously, I've never spoken to you before. That was an accident. But Megillah, honesty is baked into Megillah from its core. And that was the point of what my business partner and I wanted is, you know, I was a real estate developer. So we've gotten a lot of loans. And we've had the pleasure of having a lot of banking relationships that we very much value and that we work on. You know, the bank works with us. We work with the bank and you do things that way. And my friend came to me and said, hey, I'm wasting a lot of time trying to figure out which lender is most relevant for my loan. And he's a lawyer as well. And he's gotten a lot of loans. And the two of us were having lunch. And I said, well, there's too many banks for you to dissect that information. I mean, who would know that information? Just go use a search engine. And I'm kind of the person people come to ask questions, you know, about tech. And I'm just that guy in town where a lot of people ask me, you know, what car to get, what phone to get, et cetera. My router's broken, whatever. And so I went back to my office to try to find a search engine, and I couldn't find one, at least not one that I would ever recommend to anybody or one that I would use myself. And I called him back and I said, hey, I'm sorry, but for the first time, my research has failed me. Usually you can find something close. Like it might not be exactly what you want. You know, whether it's a, something you're purchasing or a website you're trying to use, you can find something exactly what you're looking for or darn enough close. And in this case, I couldn't find anything. And we wanted the ability to narrow the field of literally thousands and thousands of FDIC-insured bank brands around the country. And how would you ever be able to narrow that list? It's impossible. Nobody's smart enough. I'm not smart enough. You're not smart enough. Even if you combined everyone listening on this phone, you don't have that information. The banks aren't giving you the information you need to make an informed decision, at least at the outset. So here we are, September 19th. I want to buy a $10 million office building, owner-occupied in Austin, Texas. Who's got the most room in their portfolio? Who would be the most aggressive lender for a $10 million owner-occupied purchase in Austin, Texas, right now? I don't have a clue.
Good question. I have no clue at all.
And even if you lived in Austin, Texas, could you really answer the question?
Nope. Even in my neighborhood, I wouldn't be able to answer the question. How do you know who's got what on their portfolio at a glance?
Now, if you asked me off the cuff, like we all do in our daily lives, hey, who'd you refinance your house with? Or hey, you know, I need a line of credit. Who'd you get yours from? The person who's answering, it's not that it's bad information, but it's stale information, right? Things move too quickly. So if I refinance my house in January and you asked me who I did it with, well, that's not a bad question. And my answer is not bad either. But is it really, should you really take that information to rely on a decision you're going to make in September 19th?
Exactly. And when I get asked questions about something sensitive like that, I'll answer, but then I'll say, you know, you really should search because this was timed or this had a special offer or a special time.
Correct.
And it may not be available anymore. So really just check it out.
So how can you search? This is leading to step two of Megillah. So we wanted a search. We couldn't find it. So what did we do? We sat down to build a search engine. It was more of a dare to myself, like, hey, here's my buddy. We had this idea. We had this conversation. Didn't exist. What do you do with it next? And my dad always told me when we were kids, like there's a very thin line between thinking about something and doing it, right? I've had tons of ideas in the past, as everyone on the listening to your podcast now. You see something in a story, you're like, oh, I had that idea 2 years ago. Or, oh, they stole my idea. You know, like half joking, right? But you probably did have the idea. Well, this is just one circumstance where the timing was right, you know? The opportunity presented itself, and I had enough skills or background to be a little bit dangerous in being able to code this thing. I wasn't a coder, but I knew enough to kind of get started. And his name is Chris Meyer. That's my friend. He and I sat down to review the first prototype, and we both looked at it and said, I wouldn't use this. And that's how we built Megillah. It was about, would I use it? We built it for ourselves. Uh-huh. If we're not going to use it, how could you tell anyone else to use it? This gets back to your honesty scenario. Like, I'm not going to tell somebody to do something that I wouldn't do myself. So we went back to the drawing board and we said, wait a second. What does a bank need to know at this stage in the game? Well, they need to know about me. How strong of a borrower am I? And they need to know about what I'm trying to accomplish. What's the company I'm purchasing? What's the building I'm purchasing? What's the retail center I'm refinancing? But I wouldn't give my name and social security number over the internet. I just wouldn't do it. And it sounds obvious today with the whole Equifax issue and all that. But, you know, we started this thing a year and a half ago. Security breaches are nothing new. And so we decided to build what is akin to a dating site. And that was an accident. I've been married 14 years. Dating sites didn't exist back then. But accidentally, we built a little bit of a dating site where you come on Megillah and in a very safe manner, you tell the system, I look like this. And the asset I'm trying to finance or the business I'm trying to purchase looks like this. And then the bankers preset their search criteria that says, just like a dating site, am I looking for somebody? In a data world, you might say, I'm looking for somebody who likes music, somebody who's active, somebody who's tall. It doesn't matter what they're looking for. They can set their criteria. And when those loans enter the system, the banker gets notified. It's very efficient. The banker makes you a proposal, right? Again, efficient. And at this point, not only was the anonymity key to Chris Meyer and myself, but I didn't want my phone to ring. I only wanted it to ring after I made a selection. Now, that's not best for us from a money perspective, right? To monetize a site, the best thing to do is to sell the information and get it out there to anybody who's willing to pay for it. But we're going for a different prize. We're trying to build trust and longevity with our customers because loans come when they come. A person doesn't get a loan every day or every month, right? You refinance your home a couple times. You maybe make a business purchase a couple times. You know, we're not selling t-shirts here. So we need to have a very strong and stout system. And for us, I don't want my phone to ring unless I want it to ring. It's that basic. If I get 10 proposals and I click on two of them, I get two phone calls. I don't get three.
I like that. You know, I cringe on getting any kind of quotes or estimates because I then literally and truly get barraged with phone calls nonstop and emails to the point where I've had to get a second phone number just for anything like that because I don't need 100 people pitching me, especially when I buy a car or try to get a price quote. It's terrible. I've never been to a dating site, but I love the way that this is fashioned and formed. That's really very, very cool. And
yeah.
I think this is new age now.
Now, there's a dating site that we learned after the fact called Bumble. And apparently Bumble is an outcropping of some of the other dating sites where women didn't like the noise in the system, you know, being bombarded, like you said. And so my understanding of this Bumble app is that women like it because they're in control. At the end of the day, they make the final decision. Do I or do I not want to connect with this person? And in an accidental but similar way, Megillah is saying the same thing. The borrower, man, woman, anything you want to be, is in control.
I like that. The Dream Business community wants to help you with your career and business. As you know, jobs can be fickle. Here today, gone tomorrow. And owning a business has its own frailties. Bloomberg says 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs fail in the first 18 months. A Harvard study says 3 out of every 4 venture-backed firms fail. And there's other sources with shocking figures of their own, which all point to one very conclusive point. These are scary times we live in. Let's help you in the dream business community. Yes, you. Let's try to give you the information you need now to boost your career or business. And I'll be there every step of the way, helping you, along with other experts in many industries. Are you ready for accelerated success? Check it out, the Dream Business Community at TonyDurso.com/community. That's TonyDurso.com/community. Is it true that a majority of new businesses fail? Check this out. In order to have a successful growing business, there are some vital points that you must know. You must have worked them out thoroughly. They must be synchronized with each other, and all employees, consultants, and companies that you depend on must know these items and be in agreement with them if your new business is to meet with a high percentage of success. Get it free. The Vision Map. Beat the odds for business success at TonyDurso.com www.revenuechatradio.com/vision. Learn how to establish your vision, purpose, long-term objective, and master plan, including strategic and tactical planning. Get the vision map, beat the odds for business success at tonydurso.com/vision. V-I-S-I-O-N. And we're back with Dean Tsoukas talking about the first search engine for any loans. And is this changing the industry, setting it on its airs or disrupting it, or is this just accepted by everyone?
Well, I mean, people, the whole disruptor, you know, everyone wants to be a disruptor and, you know, we're changing the game and all that. And again, Chris and I are a little older. You know, we're not coming from a Silicon Valley tech background, but we think that while some people say, well, you know, how can you guys build a website like this? You don't have a tech background. We don't. But that's kind of the point. If we had a tech background but didn't have a strong borrower background, how could we build the site? You had to be a borrower. You had to have lived it, and not in terms of just business loans or just home loans, all kinds of loans. We're both businessmen. So you take two businessmen's experience, our family's experience, our friends' experiences, consolidate them down and say, if I could start from scratch, what would I do? And this is what I would do. This is the best way to go about it. And the bankers that get it, get it. The bankers that don't get it, they just don't get it. And they're going to say stuff like, well, Dean, I can't do this. I need, and then they give me the litany of things that they need. Well, what do you think those things are?
The first things is, what's your social security number?
Yeah, I need to see your tax returns. Yeah. I want you to fill out all these forms. Now, our philosophy is this. You're still going to give those to the bank, and you should only give them to a bank. Don't give them to a website. When you choose, give them to a bank.
But, I love it. When I used to get loans, nobody would play that type of game. They wouldn't even go any further without a social security number and the past finances. Just to even ask them, is this something you would look at? It was just always terrible. I love the way you're doing it. Go ahead, please.
So I was saying that sometimes to explain to people why it's so different and they're so used to doing it their way, which is getting a full-blown application and all your K-1s and all your tax returns before they even tell you what's the capacity of the bank, again, in our example, in September of 2017. They may have had capacity for your type of loan in January, but you know, they're balancing their portfolios all the time. So just because a bank can't do your loan or isn't as competitive for your loan today, that doesn't mean they're a bad bank. It's similar to going to a car dealer and saying, if I wanted to buy a white Audi A4, should I go to the dealer that doesn't have a white Audi A4 and has the dealer trade for one? Or should I go to the car dealer that has literally 10 white Audi A4s sitting on the lot? It's a pretty obvious answer, right?
Absolutely.
Only you would be crazy to go to the guy who doesn't have one or only has one when another guy's got 10 and it's getting late in the year. Pretty obvious, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what about a bank? Why is a bank any different? A bank is selling a service, okay? And you're a consumer. You're a borrower. So wouldn't you want to go to the bank that has the most capacity for your type of loan on that given day? I would. Why not?
It's very smart. I like it.
And that's all we're doing. We're not telling you which bank to choose, and we're not force feeding your information on any bank. It is a cliche, but is a true win-win. The banker wins because the banker's in LA and I'm a borrower in Sacramento. How on earth would I ever find that bank in LA? And how would that bank find me? It's like two ships passing in the night. It's never going to happen.
Dean, do you have any kind of statistics in terms of people that may have used a different system and use yours and how fast they may get their loans? And can you share any of that information with us?
Well, there's not a true analogous system to ours. So it's hard to say you use this system and the results were different. All I can tell you is I do it the old fashioned way at the office. If we see a lot of loans come in from a certain jurisdiction, you know, to get those lenders in that jurisdiction, we have to do it, quote, the old-fashioned way sometimes, just to get those lenders in that jurisdiction. So as I'm calling the lenders, it amazes me every time. I'm always just godsmacked by how inefficient it is. You call the 800 number. Which 800 number? Well, that's step one. There's 10 branches in a certain city. Which one are you going to call? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We don't do business loans here. You need to call the Albuquerque branch. okay, can you give me that number? And it just goes on and on and on. And what's our system like? You put it in. The lenders get notified. And almost instantaneously, it's not instant. Why is it not instant? Because a real live person is giving you the proposal. So some people early on were saying, oh, McGill, it doesn't work. I didn't get anything back. No, no, it works. When it works too fast, that's fake. That's not real. How can any human act that quickly unless it's a bot? And I don't want a bot. I want somebody to review my file, review my proposal, what I'm looking for, and make me a proposal back. And that takes a little bit of time. Usually takes an hour, you know, 24 hours. Depends on the complexity of the loan. But that shows that it's real. That's the whole point. And if it takes you 24, 48 hours and the borrower thinks that's too slow, well, then they haven't done it the old-fashioned way because that's lightning fast. You can't get 4, 5, 6 real proposals of letters of interest from banks in 24, 48 hours. You'd be lucky to get one. And now the other thing that is, again, a little bit of an accident is Chris and I have created what we believe to be a great equalizer in terms of gender bias, race relations, race bias, even just your physical appearance. Those things shouldn't come into play in these decisions. And we built this system that is anonymous, and it's truly anonymous. So on the form, you never say if you're a man or a woman or what you look like or how old you are. What if there's age bias built in there? Well, this guy's too old to be getting a loan right now or too young. Really? Why should that matter? If my metrics are sound, why does it matter if I'm 23 or 73? It shouldn't. And the same thing for the loan officers. When you make your proposal as a loan officer, the borrower does not know if you're a man, a woman, African-American, Hispanic, white. It doesn't know. And why should that matter? It shouldn't. You should pick a loan officer based on what they tell you. We have a little notes field, how they sound, right? And what they're offering you. The rest of it's just noise. And we're trying to strip out all that noise.
I love it. Dean, I am curious about one thing, how you came up with the name McGilla. What does that mean? To be silly, I know it from the cartoons, but...
So do I.
McGilla Gorilla is the first thing I thought of, but
Chris had come to me, you know, when he and I had that lunch and we got together again, you know, a couple of days later, he had mocked up like an early version of, you know, some sort of a website. And it didn't work or anything. It was just, you know, he had put it together and he called it. He just put McGilla because he must have been thinking about the McGilla Gorilla or something because I don't know why. And I said, oh, McGilla Gorilla, I love it. He goes, yeah, I know. It's just a placeholder name, you know, whatever. And there's also a Yiddish term called like the whole Megillah, which I'm familiar with, which, you know, it's like everything or, you know, I'm going to give you everything. The whole. What do you want? I want the whole Megillah. I want it all. And so either way, you know, those are kind of interesting. And we showed it to a couple bankers and we'd almost like, say, oh, well, you know, the name, we're still working on it. And before we could even say it, the banker would say, I love the system. And by the way, I love the name. And we're like, well, we got to keep it. And so basically, if you're my age, you remember the McGilla Gorilla. If you're younger, you have no idea what it means, but that's okay because it's a cool sounding name. And it doesn't sound, Chris and I promised each other early on to not call ourselves Lenda this, Funda that, Fund me. Because ours is truly different. And in order to get away from all the noise of the system and on the internet, we wanted to just call it something that didn't have to necessarily mean anything. We wanted people to know when they came to McGilla that they weren't confusing us with any other site that, you know, purported to do something similar. Although we believe ours is the only one of its kind that does this true agnostic, fair search. It's a pure search. And we're not tricking anybody into doing anything. If you put your loan in McGilla, and your local banker has done you a good service and gave you a proposal that's maybe better or similar to the ones you got in McGilla, excellent. Good for you and good for your banker. That's not bad. That's good news. That's like going to United Airlines and living in Chicago and thinking the best way to go from Chicago, Illinois to New York is United Airlines. Okay. If you go to Kayak and check and that you're certainly right, you don't blame Kayak for giving you the same answer you already knew. You're happy you confirmed your suspicions. But I live in Sacramento. A couple months ago, the only way to go from Sacramento to New York nonstop was on JetBlue. Ask anybody. Well, one day that's wrong because United started flights from Sacramento to Newark. Okay, information has changed. How the heck would you know that? unless you used Kayak. You wouldn't. You don't know who's running a special. You don't know who's got 2-for-1 tickets. You don't know who's got room on their Boeing 777 that month and is having trouble getting people to fly from Sacramento to Florida. How the heck would you know? And we believe, why is banking any different? How would you know who has the most capacity for what you need? I mean, think about this. Let me ask you a question, Tony. How many airlines of significance are there in the United States? I mean, this isn't a trick question. I don't know myself, but like
half in a dozen? Mind,
yeah, 20 maybe. Maybe 20.
Well, there's a big group, you know, the big half dozen come to mind quickly, but then there's the periphery. Yeah, 10, 15, whatever.
How many travel sites are there that allow you to compare and contrast, you know, airlines?
As of yesterday, there were 236,025 or something. I mean, there's a lot.
Okay. Well,
how, too many.
There are over 6,000 FDIC-insured bank brands in the United States, plus the credit unions, plus the alternative lenders, plus the online lenders. So there are literally, I mean, don't quote me on this because I don't know the exact answer, but let's say there's 10,000 lending opportunities, options for a consumer. And how many search engines are there?
Too many.
No, there are none. Not for banks.
Oh, no, not for banks. No.
Us, one. I mean, think about cars. Like that. How many brands are there in the United States of cars that are of significance? Again, it's probably like 20. You know, Audi, Honda, Ford, mm-hmm. You can name them. How many car sites are there that allow you to micromanage every aspect of your car buying purchase? We take them for granted. Mm-hmm. And they're wonderful, wonderful tools for both the travel and the auto industry. These are great tools. And we wanted to build something that was just as great and just as efficient and change the way we interact with a bank, at least in the outset. Eventually, you're going to have to qualify for the loan. I mean, life's not easy. You still have to qualify and prove yourself to the bank. But at least now the banks aren't wasting time with borrowers that they really can't help. And borrowers aren't wasting time trying to knock down the door of a bank for which it is a bad match. You're starting on the wrong place. And we want to start the banker and the borrower in the right place and just cut out the whole early search process. Let's just get down to it. And if the answer is no, we're big boys and girls, we can handle it. I just like to get the no first. Not after I gave you every shred of information about me, only to find out that the underwriter said, oh, no, you should have never started this. You can't get approved.
Like, exactly.
How about we just don't start?
I tell you, a site like McGill Loans that you've created is a godsend. I wish that was around back then when I was buying homes and a lot more active in larger purchases and so forth, because it truly was that impossible to get a good deal or find a company. And it was very exasperating. You tear your hair out and, you know, thank goodness for what you've put together. Throughout this conversation, you've been giving some of your purpose and why you're doing it and what motivated you on doing it. And I just think that is just so cool. And it's so needed, which is a testament to your success in just a very short period of time.
Yeah, we've been at it about a year and a half, and we're very proud of the fact that we've had $3.5 billion worth of loans cross the platform. And that's a number that no way Chris or myself, or, I mean, how would you know you build something on your old Macintosh computer and try to, you know, teach yourself how to code something? How would you know that in a year and a half, that many loans are going to cross the platform? I mean, it just seems, I mean, we're just proud of it. We're proud of the people who've been with us from the beginning, whether you're a lender or a borrower, and you used it repetitively and watched it grow. And, you know, we hope we're earning the trust of people to say that, you know, other than an email address, that's all the system needs to get you started. And if you want to be super careful about it, it's so easy to get a disposable email address or an alias on your Gmail or your Yahoo account, whatever you use, it's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. I mean, the system is anonymous. No one's going to be emailing you. The only emails you're going to get are from the system itself, which we have to tell you, you know, you've got a lender interested. Somehow we have to notify you. And you're going to get emails or phone calls from the lenders you choose. That's it. That basic.
I love it, Dean. I love it. Thank you so much for this. And thank you so much for everything that you've put together on this and told us about. And before we wrap up, I'd like to know, is there anything else that you'd like our audience to know about? Time flies very quickly when you're having fun.
It does. You know, not really, Tony. I mean, the only thing I'd like to reiterate is that, you know, when you have an idea, and we've all had many, and this has nothing to do with McGill as much as, I just encourage people to give it a shot. And people are too quick to throw stones at other people. And I've had a lot of friends start businesses. Some people started clothing businesses. You've got wives who had kids and want to get back to work. And people are always quick to criticize. Like, not everyone has to live the way you want to live. And you can change the way you want to live. There's nothing wrong with being a stay-at-home dad or being a stay-at-home mom or being a working mom or whatever. But if you give something a shot, in my opinion, that's a success. And not, you know, sometimes it's going to, your restaurant may close after a while. But all of us listening on the phone should just be a little kind and not, when the person's restaurant closes, don't be quick to jump on them and say, oh, the food was bad or the service was bad. They gave it their shot. They gave it the best they could. And not every circumstance works out. Some do and some don't. But if you never try, you know, it's only talk. And Magilla is giving you, in a small way, or, you know, maybe a more meaningful way, the ability to give it a shot. If you're an experienced person and you've got a lot of banking relationships, how many banking relationships do you really have? 3? 4? I mean, that's a lot for a company or a business to maintain. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of lenders out there. Don't you want to see, don't you want to check to make sure that there isn't a bank that maybe bought another bank, right? Or your favorite loan officer moved banks? And if you're an early business, a younger business, how would you know which bank can maybe fit you in? Like, you're not perfect, right? You haven't been at it that long. Maybe your assets are a little low. Your revenue is a little low. How would you find out of those thousands and thousands of banks where you should begin the conversation? And so we're here to help. If some people say it's small business loans or startup loans, or it's none of that. It's all loans. We've had many, many loans in excess of $60 million, experienced borrowers. And we've had loans, you know, $25, $50, $100,000. And we want those people to know today's loan is $25,000. Maybe in a year and a half, you need $150,000. Come back to Magilla. Try again. You know, see what's available to you a year and a half from now. A lot is going to change between now and then, you know, socioeconomically, economically, globally, you know, but Magilla will tell you who's the most relevant at that time.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. It was a great conversation and a great thing. I'm astounded. I really am at what you've done in a year and a half. You've run billions of dollars through this. Hats off to you. That is absolutely amazing. And that just is a testament to how needed this is in society today. I love it. I love it. It's just beautiful. Thank you so much. Once again, Dean Tsoukas. Did I say that right? Tsoukas?
You did. You did. Your Greek didn't fail you. Thank you.
Oh, excelente. And his website is Magilla Loans. And once again, that's MAGILLA loans.com. And yes, if you think of Magilla Gorilla, you'll get it every time.
Well, thanks a million, Tony. I enjoy your show, and thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And all right, thank you, everyone, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. If you like this interview with Dean, would you kindly give me a review on iTunes? A couple sentences is just fine, and it means the world to me. Thanks in advance. Our next episode is with Jennifer Oliver. Jen is the founder and CEO of Fit Mama Global and the author of The Love Fit Mama Way, Transforming the Core of Motherhood. Jen educates, inspires, and transforms busy moms into loving fit mamas through core rehab, mindfulness, and self-care. And what she is most passionate about is empowering people to love their bodies and love their lives. And she's a trained practitioner in the healing art of Reiki. Jen tells us how to embrace and enjoy the journey on the next episode of Revenue Chat. All right. Thanks again, everyone. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.